Welcome to the New Canaan Library podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Kathleen.
And we're recording in a really weird circumstance, and we apologize in advance if the audio quality is not very good. We are in full-blown quarantine.
Yes, I assume we sound like we're underwater or something, but we're actually just in our respective homes recording over Skype.
So the library is closed. We are in quarantine, but we are still working. We're still here for you. So you can reach out to us on email or leave a message on the information desk at the library and we'll get back to you. And definitely check the website. We have a lot of great resources. We've got our digital library. We have information on how to use our digital library, how to access the really great materials we have. So we're here for you guys. But this week, we are talking about the book Mun Mun by Jesse Andrews, because Kathleen had the recommendations and I lost because this is not a book that I initially wanted to read. Do you want to tell us about the book?
Yeah, first of all, you're welcome. I think this is a great book. If nothing else, I feel like maybe it gave you a lot to think about and a lot of things that you weren't expecting to read about, maybe. But so this is basically an alternate reality. It looks a lot like our own world in some ways, and then in some ways it's very different in that every person's physical size is directly proportional to their wealth. So our main character, Warner, starts out, he's about the size of a rat. And if you've read to the end of the book, and I hope you have, because I'm totally going to spoil things, but he becomes enormous and goes on a rampage. But there are just a lot of cool details within the book about his kind of trajectory from a little poor to a big rich and all the people he meets along the way.
So I have to admit that I really like the book.
Oh, amazing. I'm very excited about that.
I'm going to hear about that from you for years. So the story behind this is that Kathleen initially recommended this book to me, I don't know, a while ago, and I brought it home and I started it and I did not like it. And I returned it to the library, and then you quite enjoyed picking it for our podcast book read so that I would have to read it. But when I did get into it, I was really surprised how sophisticated it was. I think on the surface, knowing that people change side, that there's a little bit of a made up language, it seemed like a very long novel for what seemed to me like very sort of younger read devices. But as I got through it, it's sophisticated satire. There's a lot of social commentary. There's a lot of exploring our world the way it is. Jesse Andrews is pretty smart. And I was kind of shocked by how unique this book was. And it covers a lot of pretty heavy and dark, realistic things in our world. But he does it in such a lighthearted way that I was laughing out loud through most of it.
I think maybe one of the things is that it does get a lot more hilarious as it goes on. So that initial push, you're just like, what is going on? Is there a problem with the printer that formatted my text? Everything is squished together. There's a lot of kind of made up language type things. But yeah, I think it is fair to say it sounds like a very one note concept. And in actuality, it's just this device to kind of make literal the idea of wealth and size and vulnerability that comes with, you know, the wealth you have and the place, for example, that Warner inhabits in the world. But yeah, I'm just so happy that you enjoyed it.
I really liked it. So let's talk a little bit about the made up language, because in the beginning, like, I found it exhausting. Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to figure out what you're talking about. But then when you sort of hit your groove, which for me, I'll be honest, it's page 70, 80, I don't know, close to, when you finish up the first 100 pages, you're all in and you start to just understand the language, because it's funny. It's intuitive. It's like, for example, there's a city called Sandrimo. And that just cracked me up to no end. It's this mashup of like San Francisco, Los Angeles. A lot of the names tap into sort of your internal thoughts and what you think of these places. The names of places, the names of people. There's someone called Mark V. He's the son of a very, he's the illegitimate son of a very wealthy man. And so he's basically Marcus, whatever, the fifth. But rather than doing that, the author just says Mark V. And when there's a son, I forget the actual word, but they just call him like Joseph again. Or I forget what it was. So that made me laugh out loud. It's not like, you know, such and such junior. It's, you know, it's like Sam again. And it was, so there's a lot of wit. There's a lot of, and you, once you start getting it, you're sort of in on this like inside humor. It's hysterical.
I really like that it does invite you into that world. So I think initially you're just like, what is going on? And I will say, I listened to the audio this time. I read it the first time and then I listened to the audio, and it's a totally different experience because you're just hearing, when you hear Warner speak, I think it makes so much more sense that way. Like, oh, of course, that's just how he talks. So that was really interesting to me too. But the thing that also I'm trying to piece together, because I kind of felt like I had a feel for it. And I think in the book, they actually have like charts or something to show you the relative size of everything, which is really cool. But I was just trying to figure out the math of everything. How much math was Jesse Andrews doing before he put this book together?
Okay. First of all, I'm so glad you said that on multiple levels. Number one, that you listened to it and I read it, which we keep doing that. Last time I listened to it, unintentionally, but it's kind of neat to compare the different experiences. Because for me, and I did, I know it's my turn to share an interesting quote from the book. I'm a little bit bummed about the quote I wanted to share with everybody, because I kind of want to spell out the fact that they're using homonyms. It will sound like they're just using a word, but he will spell it in a different way so that it makes you think about the word differently. And that's kind of neat. He plays with language a lot. And if you're just listening to it, you'll miss out on that wit. And also in the beginning, it's so funny because sometimes you read this like wild fantasy world building and you have to flip back to the map to figure out where you are and where you're going. And you know, I had to flip back to the beginning because there's like a chart and a graph to explain little poors, middle riches, like the very large, I forget the term, super riches. And again, there's a lot of social commentary here. He attaches value and money to size and not just, you know, sort of socioeconomic status, but physical size. And you have to understand it because you have to understand the point which the main character, Warner, is terrified of cats because I think the one mauled his mother at the beginning, which is why he goes on to seek his fortune, because his mom was running from a cat. And I'm pretty sure the cat mauled his mom and his mom was desperately injured to the point where Warner scales large enough that he's not scared. He always hates cats, which is funny.
Yeah. So I think anytime anyone asks me why I'm afraid of cats, I guess I can't use that excuse that one mauled my mom and she was in a wheelchair because of it. But I do think that just the idea of the vulnerability and the way they talk about when they leave to take the train at the beginning, or just nothing is made for them. And I mean, I think that's definitely something that you can see figuratively in the real world, in which maybe accessibility is not always in consideration, or some people have advantages that other people don't have and therefore access to places they don't have. But in the book, it is so literal. And I think it's actually helpful to think of it that way. And to think of just kind of the idea when he realizes that he's still afraid of cats, but the idea that he doesn't need to be, and kind of just how that feels to him is actually a pretty moving moment, because it's just, you really feel like the traumas of when he was a little poor don't leave him, but the whole world has opened up for him.
So Warner is living with his sister and his mother. His father died tragically because some middle-sized person, a child, killed his father. So their big plan, which his sister is pretty shallow in the beginning. And she really, her story arc is a lot of fun. She develops into a really interesting, hardworking person. But in the beginning, their big plan is that he is going to find a way to help his sister get to a law school so she can just hang around and look cute and try to find a husband. That's like the whole, that's their whole plan in the beginning. And of course, everything goes wrong along the way. But what I love about what Jesse Andrews does, the satire is so sophisticated. When satire is at its best, I think, it both really makes you think, wow, this is so accurate, even though it's absurd. And it also makes you laugh, which I think Jesse Andrews did brilliantly. After reading this book, I really felt that it did not get the press it deserved. It's brilliant. It touches on poverty. And like you say, Kathleen, the accessibility, physically and literally, they're literally getting stepped on. The world is moving on beyond them. Throughout the whole book, you're like, this device can't hold up, but it does. The sizing up, sizing down, the physical accessibility of things. And it touches on at some point, like he comes up with this great idea. He ends up having sort of a wealthy political sponsor that gets him out of jail. And they touch on minimum wage when he says, why can't we have a world where everyone is at least bigger than cats so that no one has to get mauled by a cat? It touches on sexual assault. It touches on social policy, education, politics, and the penal system. There's this one really rough scene where his sister is at this law school and she gets roped into this party and he discovers that she's basically being assaulted. So he and his sidekick drag a gun, which is bigger than they are, and it takes both of them to figure out how to shoot it. And they just blindly shoot it towards the, I feel terrible. But it was a very stressful moment where I was so worried about his sister, and I could not help but laugh out loud because of just how absurd it was. The two of them were trying to just shoot a gun. They tried to get a policeman involved and he wouldn't even address them. But Jesse Andrew brilliantly combines thinking about these issues with absurdity and comedy.
Yeah, I think one thing that I do want to emphasize, and it's hard to promote this book. I think when I talk about it, I'm like, oh, you know, it's really thoughtful and it's really got all of these great things. And I really want you to know, you know, all of that stuff. But also just like, if you're looking for something funny, like it's very funny. It's very clever and witty. And yeah. I just think that there are a few books that I have read that I've actually laughed as much as I have with this book. So
yes,
I mean, that's a treat in itself.
I totally agree. I'm so glad you forced this upon me.
Exactly. Yes. No, it was a public service.
But it's also, you know, it's that really weird space of like, I'm one of those people that, you know, like when you're at a place where it's completely inappropriate to laugh, and that's when you're at the biggest danger of like exploding in giggles. That happened to me recently, 2 years ago at a funeral. Like, I'm one of those people that is like, oh my God, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't giggle, don't giggle. And then it becomes harder. And that's what this book felt like a little bit. It was very irreverent. Like, there were some heavy topics. You're going through some really traumatic things. And yet you are laughing so hard because of the way Jesse Andrew treats the subject matter.
I think there's something really nice about using comedy and finding kind of like the humor in something. Because we could just read a book that's really depressing and get something out of it. But I feel like it stays with me too, because it's funny, because the characters feel real to me, because it's complex.
Thank you, Kathleen, for making me read this wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make me keep going. It made me think about real world issues. It made me laugh about them. It was a really, and it's, you know what? I really appreciate the unique. I can't think of any book I've really read like this. The one book that this reminds me of, I want you to guess what you think it is.
I have no idea. How
is it? Obvious. It's a classic. It's a very, very old classic. Okay. Gulliver's Travel. Have you ever read it? It's like,
I haven't. I mean, I know.
It's a very, very old. I had to read it when I was in college, and I went on to write this long, obnoxious paper that I feel bad that my professor had to read. But it was one of the books I really loved. And I think this really taps into that. It's a lot more modern, it's a lot more fun. But this whole idea of identity and social commentary, Gulliver ends up, you know, first, you know, he's among like people much bigger than him, and then he's among people much smaller than him. And what was really interesting about the book was the perspective and how, you know, Gulliver identifies with himself. In the end, he ends up in a place full of like horse people. But this really reminded me, of that. And I actually loved that book, and I thought it was so smart. And it's neat the way Jesse Andrews was able to do that and yet offer something so new and so fresh. Do you like satire? Do you have more satire thoughts for us?
I do. I have a few. I do enjoy satire. And I don't know that there are a ton of YA books that I found that really have a lot of satire. So I just wrote a note about a few of them that I had really liked. And I know we had just talked about how much we love M.T. Anderson. He wrote a book called Landscape with Invisible Hand, which I read around the same time as I read this book. So maybe that's why I connect them so closely. But that one is about aliens come to Earth. It's just like this bizarre satire where they look like tables. The only thing they really love is 1950s style romances, of course. So the main character and his girlfriend start going on fake dates to appease the aliens, basically, and they get paid for this. This is how they make money in this world, because everyone is out of a job, basically. It's totally, I mean, it's just as weird as this book, but it's so smart and it's, you know, it's funny in like a very dark kind of way, which is, I think, you know, the brand of satire here. And the second one I wanted to talk about, another one of my favorite YA authors, Libba Bray, wrote a book called Beauty Queens, and it's about a plane full of beauty queens crashes on a deserted island and they have to fend for themselves. And she narrates the audiobook. And it's really hilarious. So both of these things are available on Overdrive. You can get the M.T. Anderson book. And then Hoopla has the audiobook of Beauty Queens, which is so funny from start to finish. But it's also, I mean, it's very smart. It's very pointed satire as well. So those are just two books that I really liked.
I might look into Escape with Invisible Hand. We talked earlier this week, Kathleen and I love M.T. Anderson. So I will look into that. I loved Feed. Did you read Feed?
Yes.
Oh, that's so good. And actually, that's pretty relevant right now, too. So that's something worth looking into for those of you guys who enjoyed this book. But Jesse Andrews wrote Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which I loved. It was such a great book. I thought the dialogue was great. It's about a high school boy who's, I think his mom pushes him to reconnect with a childhood friend who's a girl who has an illness, and he's really into film and he's thinking about college. It's such a beautifully written coming of age, a lot of real tragedy there. And again, Jesse Andrews makes you laugh through the book, even though it's very, very heavy, but it's all realistic fiction. Anyway, that book did so well, won tons of awards. And it was made into a movie that actually did pretty well, which I believe Jesse Andrews wrote the screenplay. I hope I'm not wrong about that. That could be completely false. I think he did. Anyway, I loved the book. Did you read it, Kathleen?
Now you're going to, I haven't. I thought this was all on you. I need to. I know I need to. It's been on my to read list for years.
Yeah, that's okay. I have not read either of your echoes. So I might read Landscape with Invisible Hand just because I love M.T. Anderson. Oh, so do you want to hear the quote that I picked out?
Very curious.
Okay, it's a little bit longish. So hopefully, I don't know, I can maybe edit it out if it goes on forever. So this was one of my favorite parts of the book. So Warner goes through all of these. He's trying to improve himself. He wants to be bigger. In the process of bettering himself and with his sponsor, this a political heavy that he ends up living with, to go to school and do well in school, but having been a little poor, running from rats and cats, he's never been in school. He's a really smart person and he's trying to do well in math. And from his little poor perspective, he describes math. And so I'm going to read this to you. Numbers, negatives, plus, minus, times, divide, the percents and fractions of mun math. You think you're pretty quick with that stuff. Well, congratulations, idiot. That's just the first room. Step into the next room and you've got letters running around in there. Letters that might mean a number and might not. So have fun dealing with that. Sometimes you solve for X. X is a mystery criminal you have to catch. Sometimes it's not a crime show. It's a love story. X is in a relationship with Y. Next room, room after that. Here come more wild symbols, squiggles, pies and roots, brackets, brambles, parentalsis, mediums and means. Meanwhile, branching off the whole frickin' time to the left and right are rooms of shapes, angles, grids, lines, charts, art rooms of mathy drawings, and the doors between the rooms are insane relationships. Somehow a square can also be a sentence of letters and numbers. P equals 4S. Riddle me that, math wizards. You think, okay, this is a little berserk, but I can probably manage as long as I don't come up with any more stuff. And then you find some stairs leading up, up, up. Oh no, there's a whole other floor. You stagger upstairs and it's just bonkers up there. Everything is a function. Everything is a parentalsis now. Binomials, some Haitians, integrals, sines, cosines, logarithms. Meanwhile, the shapes in the art rooms are mutating. 3D, 4D, cylinders, prisons, scalars, vectors, tensors, manifolds. Meanwhile, step right this way so I can introduce you to the number I, root of a negative. It exists in the next world, but not in this one. A moaning, groaning math ghost. Now it haunts you forever. I read that and I was like, that is the best description for any student struggling with math I've ever read in my life. It is so funny. And again, like we mentioned earlier with the made up language, you don't even know that, like when he says something like X is in a relationship with Y, he spells it W-H-Y, like why? X is in a relationship with like why?
I'm gonna have nightmares of math ghosts tonight. Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, no, so he's brilliant. So that's just the one quote I wanted to share. So I think that's it. Anything else you wanted to talk about with the book?
I mean, I think we've covered a lot. I hope we've inspired people to read it if they haven't already, or, you know, reread it, listen to it on audio, whatever you feel like.
Yeah, me too. So I liked it and I'm really, really glad I read it. And, you know, it was a lesson for me. Even a librarian needs to be reminded to like push forth into page 100 or so and things get really awesome. I'm really glad I read it and I think it's brilliant. So for next time, we went out of our way not to discuss this beforehand. So
I'm very nervous. I will just put that on record.
I know, nothing's crazy. Anyway, so I have two recommendations for you. Two options. So we're going to put this up in our newsletter and we're going to let you guys pick again. So the first one is I, Claudia by Mary McCoy. I know you know that I loved it. And it's about a girl and it's about her high school experience. It starts with her in ninth grade and it follows her from year to year. And it's sort of a strange private school where the students have a lot of power. There's a Senate, there's an honor council. Obviously from the title, it ties into I, Claudius and the whole history of the Roman Empire. It's sort of written so that she's almost like this like usurper. It has like the whole gravitas of the Roman Empire, but it's a very realistic fiction high school book. Even if you're not a history buff and you don't really need to know about any of that stuff, it was a very entertaining, readable YA novel. The second option is The Hazelwood by Melissa Albert. This one is a little more escapist for me. If you guys want to read something that's just a little bit more fantasy, and what I love about it is, so the main character is a 17-year-old. As the main character moves through this and her mother's like, whatever you do, like, do not explore this world of this, you know, this fantasy world of your grandmother's. And it starts to blur the line between reality and fantasy as she sort of like steps through this whole other world. Anyway, it's really neat. It's sort of a cross between fantasy and realistic fiction, which I thought was really cool.
All right. I won't tell you which one of those I've already read.
Oh my gosh, I'm so curious. You're not gonna, you already read one of them? Mm. Okay.
But I would be happy to talk about either.
All right, so that'd be fun. Anyway, so this is fun. It's a little bit sad. I miss you. So Katharina, we sit like 5 feet apart and we kind of collaborate and work on things, and now we're sort of all kind of stuck home. How's that going for you?
It's going okay. I hide from my dog, which has been working for me so that I can get things done.
Why? Is he needy? This is Michael, right?
Yes. So I have a puppy who's about 3 months old right now. And yeah, he's needy. He's 3 months old. And he loves to bite me.
Can we share his Instagram handle on the website?
I suppose we could.
I mean, that's...
If anyone is looking for a cute dog to follow on Instagram.
Oh, he's so cute. At a minimum, we should probably be able to put a picture of him up, because last time we put up like nudity and beheadings. So the time.
Yeah, let's just leave that out of context. Have everyone piece together what that could possibly mean.
Anyway, it was great to do this again. I miss you, Kathleen.
I miss you too. Yeah, I know this was less fun than face to face, but still very fun.
Okay. Well, you have an awesome week.
Bye.
Bye.